Made in first class 100 for Liam Patterson White. The helmet comes off. Richly deserved round of applause from the Cooper Associates County Ground. What a wonderful knock that has been from Liam Patterson White.
This is the talk of Trent Bridge. I'm Matt Freeman, and I'm joined this week by Nottinghamshire All-Rounders past and present to look back at a landmark summer. Coming up, Paul Franks gives his assessment of Liam Patterson White's maiden ton at Taunton.
To then go back to a place where you've had some tough experience and step over the line in such a big way, you know, fair play, mate.
Patterson White himself sets out his plan for success in seasons to come.
No place is ever given to you. You've got to still work for your place. It's about working hard and you know, keep improving as much as I possibly can.
And there's a somewhat unexpected interruption to proceedings.
Who's that?
I was about to wrap
up. Who is that?
But I want to know who it is now.
Is it Fletch? Fletch, is that you?
But first, Frank's painted a vivid picture of the current scene in the home dressing room.
A touch stale when the door's not been open for a little while would be a good description. Kit bags that look like they've not been touched for a bit and remnants of last year's unwashed kit. Always a nice aroma for the second day in February.
It's a bit like when you go into your loft or something.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's not really been used for 2 years either.
No, it's definitely not Liam's fault. His kit bag's not in here.
It's not?
No. We won't get into the kit bag thing.
You'd find
your bag. Yeah, exactly. There's all sorts in the bottom of that bag.
I think we started doing what's in the kit bag or something last year, or what's in the locker, but God knows where you end up with that.
Yeah.
But what we are going to talk about at first is we'll go through the winter, but we'll also talk about some of the stuff that's happened over the last season, some of the big moments out at Trent Bridge and around the country in the Championship last year. I've got a couple of clips of games from the last season, as described by the commentators on the Trent Bridge live stream. So I want to see first if you can work out exactly what moment is being described on commentary here.
Ooh, beats. Oh, bowled him. I thought he might have taken a nick. It was a beautiful delivery from... He has finished the game. Clean bowling, Jack Brooks. It was a lovely, lovely delivery.
Not a lot to go on. Well, there were seagulls.
Go on.
Taunton away last year. To finish the game.
The winning wicket of Taunton away.
Is it Fletch?
Fletch. Yeah. He was the man. Commentators not sounding so excited, but they were the Somerset commentary team, I think, at that point. So it's
a bit biased.
And you'd hope he'd remember that game as well.
You would, wouldn't you? I mean, we could probably talk all day about that game. And I suppose we should probably start with the ton, because... I remember in the office, we put it on the biggest monitor we could find when you got into the 90s and sort of stopped working for a while. I mean, what were your emotions in that last 10 runs or so, I suppose, first half?
To be honest, I didn't really think about it until I was on about 98.
Yeah.
Because then I thought, right, realistically now I'm a hit away, because I don't think I was going to try and hit six to get there. But yeah, you know, for me, I can never get the feeling back of being in the 90s, the build-up, and then finally getting that one run after, you know, three overs of being on 99 or whatever it was. So, yeah, it was nerve-wracking, but, you know, once people have told me once you get over the line the first time, it becomes a lot easier, which I think you'd probably agree with.
I would agree. I think you're going to make far more runs than I ever did, but I wouldn't worry about that. I think testament, you know, I wasn't actually at that game, but similar to yourselves, watching it and seeing how well and fluently he was playing during that innings, picking up bits through social media and stuff, it almost seemed like it was inevitable because of how well he's playing. And at that point, when you get to that moment, you do feel special. It's an amazing feeling. And runs in that game in particular were really priceless for us. I do remember a game where I think it was one of your first games when we played at Taunton. And we had quite a tough game down at Taunton, didn't we?
I remember it, yeah.
You came off a little bit like, ooh, okay, this has woken me up a little bit in terms of what's expected. To then go back to a place where you've had some tough experience and step over the line in such a big way and play a massive part in the winning of that game. You know, fair play, mate, because I think the world's your oyster now in terms of the runs you should score, and you should go on to make many more hundreds.
It's an interesting point, actually. Does that mentally come into your mind if it's someone you've played before where maybe it's been a little bit more of a trying experience? Is that in your head when you're back out there next time?
For me, I don't really try and think about past experiences too much. I try and take the positives out of every game. So, I mean, that breakthrough season that I had in 2019, I try to take as many positives out of it as I could. So you know, being back at Taunton, I was like, well, I've taken wickets here, I got a 5-run debut. So that's what I was thinking. It wasn't about the lack of runs that I scored or the fact, you know, that we, you know, we got completely steamrolled for 3 days. So, yeah, it's, again, going in with a fresh mindset, I'd say, to every game, no matter what kind of memories you have there, if they're good or bad. I don't try and let it, you know, hinder over my head a little bit, but, you know, if I can go in with a fresh mindset, then I'm ready to score runs, take wickets, per se.
Yeah, and it was Notts' first Red Bull win. I've wrote the wrong year down here, but I think it was something like 1985, 86 or something last time Notts got a...
Don't remember 1985, 86, mate, no?
Wasn't quite born then.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it was 86, though. Yeah. I think it was 86.
Yeah, let's not dwell on what any of us remember from that year. It's probably not going well for everyone. Everyone sat around the table. But what does that take mentally if you go to a place where, I'm sure there are other grounds that you might have played at, Paul, where Notts' record wasn't so good at times and you have to kind of get over that? Is that something that also plays in during a game?
Yeah, Taunton would be a good example of that. I think I played in a game where we beat them at Bath, which was a festival game, and we played really well that game, but we hadn't managed to do it at Taunton at the county ground. And obviously that starts to build and it becomes part of the story pre-match. And if you don't keep stepping over that line and step over that line, it just becomes more of a story. You know, you lads go to town on it, everybody else goes to town on it, and everybody else talks about it. Thankfully, the likes of Liam don't have to worry about it because it doesn't matter to him. You know, it's just those old codgers that have to worry about stuff like that. But to have finally stepped over it, they've been a good benchmark of county championship cricket. And we talked about that probably over the last two winters, about their progression as a county club and the things we could take from them as an example of their progression and integrate that into what we do. I think that was a real good sign of how far we'd come as a championship team in our form last year. Obviously, that's something we're going to have to pick up and run with at the start of this season.
I meant to look it up before we came on and I forgot. Do you remember your first class ton pretty clearly?
I didn't get very many, so we try and remember. Yes, I remember. I went through a little phase where I was playing quite well, and then I didn't get any runs for a bit. But we were battling away, and Reedy was playing well, and so we would quite often have quite significant partnerships in our positions. But very special feeling. Quite often, when you back down 7, 8, 9, you can end up high and dry if the tail don't hang around, and it can be quite frustrating at times. Some days you end up 60 odd not out, thinking, ah, if only. But yeah, they are special feelings, and easy to remember. But I think the man to my right here should be looking to accumulate far more than I ever got, and looking at bigger and better things.
Let's take a look back at one of the other clips from the season just gone, this one at Trent Bridge.
Here's Code, short ball pulled. Doesn't matter whether that's a new ball or an old one. A short ball like that is going to go for six, and that is a magnificent shot by to bring up a superb 100, 251 minutes, 194 balls. I think he's taken us all by surprise with the manner of doing that.
That's good, that.
I have no idea.
I'm only going on the accent of the commentator.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah.
Sounds a bit northwestern.
Okay.
I'm sensing by Matt's reaction I'm barking up the wrong tree.
I'm trying to be poker face. Maybe failing.
Come on, Pato, you're giving me nothing here.
So it was here.
Yeah.
And it got there with a six to get the ton, whoever it was.
Oh, my word.
It was definitely a championship game.
Definitely.
Second half of the season, because there's a crowd in as well.
Yeah, very good, Liam, excellent.
There you go. I've given something now. Now I've given something.
There's some good detective work going on.
10 minutes in and he's finally here. Right. Slater, Hamid, Duckett, Clark, James, no, Mullaney, Moores, Patterson, White. They were the only people who should have and could have got hundreds.
I don't think it would have been Tev, because he have a strike rate of 50.
Would he have gone
when he goes and tries to score runs, does he?
Would he have gone to 100 with a six? I think he'd still be telling us now if he had.
Yeah, I would have said Clarkey, going on the. But then again, when the commentator said it's not quite like him to go.
But did he not? He'd had a run of form though, Clarke, hadn't he? Where he hadn't scored 100. He'd scored lots of 50s, and it was burning him a little bit that he hadn't gone on to make 100. And then he did make 100. So was it in that last couple of games where we played at home? I've got a feeling it was a filthy off-tracker, and I don't know who it was against, but I think it is Clarkey. I think you're right.
Clarkey?
Yeah.
It is Clarkey. Superb
there you go.
Work.
Yes.
Marvellous. I feel like Jeremy Clarkson or something.
Who was it against?
It was against Yorkshire, so Northern, right. But it was the other side of the other side of the Pennines. I mean, you're right in that, is it a surprise for Joe Clark to go to a centre? With a six, it feels like something that
not now, seemingly not. No,
but you mentioned his run of form this season and lots of 50s early doors, and then that turn in what was, I think, the final game actually here at Trent Bridge. Could you sense what that meant to Joe to get over the line for three figures in last season?
Yeah, because he'd been playing well, hadn't he? And he'd been really consistent and he'd been making, you know, good contributions, but he's got high expectations of himself. You know, he's desperate to make significant scores, like. Across all formats, he wants to be an all formats batter, and for him to finish with that 100 that his form deserved is a great feeling for him. He's obviously had a good winter, and we're looking forward to seeing him again when he gets back in towards the end of this month.
Yeah, and that game in general, particularly I think the last day in the end, felt quite celebratory. Really, there was a good crowd in. There was a lot of school trips in during that game as well, which must have made for an interesting atmosphere out there.
Yeah, it was interesting to be honest. I felt like when I went out to. It's always an awkward time to go out when you're needing, you know, 15, 20 runs to win or whatever it was. So when I went out, I felt a little bit under pressure about it, not because of the game situation or anything, but more because there was, you know, kids in and whatnot. And not, obviously, you want to win for not just the team, but for everyone that comes and watches and, you know, staff and you know, everyone that works here. So it's, and especially it being the last game of the season, you don't want to kind of mess up. So... yeah, it's a special place to play, and it's a special feeling to like win here, especially against a good side like Yorkshire. You know, we know we had a good season last season, but to get over the line against teams that are renowned for being very good red ball teams, you know, it's again a very special thing.
And how nice is it to hear those ripples of applause on the clips as well? Because those first wins last season were in empty grounds, but then. With the numbers starting to come back as we got into July, August, September, it seemed to make a big difference to the feel of the place.
Yeah, it did massively. It almost felt a little bit foreign, to be honest. I missed out in the 2020 season, so coming back to playing first team cricket last season and there being no one there felt really strange. But you know, it was nice to have a crowd in for the second part of the season. And you know, everyone appreciates the fact that people come and watch. You know, not obviously we want to win and entertain people along the way, and you know, thankfully we did that last season.
Yeah, do you have to work a bit harder to gee yourself up when there's nobody in?
No, not me. Yeah. Not me at the minute. I'm at the stage of my career where, you know, even getting selected is still exciting. You know, it's not about the crowd or the atmosphere. It's about playing cricket for Nottinghamshire. You know, and again, my passion is to play cricket for Nottinghamshire for a long time. So as long as I go out on the field and step over the rope as part of the playing 11, then, you know, I feel like I my job's, you know, partly done, but it's about going over and getting over the line. So,
yeah. Now, as we record this, England's under-19s have made it into the final of the under-19 World Cup. By the time this goes out, we will know which way that's gone. But that doesn't stop us talking about it now. Fateh Singh's over there with Notts. They're bidding to be the first under-19 World Cup winners from England since Paul Franks's.
Can you believe that? I've been listening to Graham Swan bang on about that for the last 3 weeks.
Only 3 weeks.
Well, yeah.
Any time he gets on camera, he'll talk about it.
But having been in Fateh's position, I suppose, in a sense... When you're one game away from winning something like that, how do you deal with that, I suppose?
I think the game's changed a lot since in those 24 years. Let's not kid ourselves. I mean, we were still playing red ball cricket in a 50-over game. And, you know, that's unheard of now. That doesn't happen, certainly in the professional game. And the level of coverage now that social media has, you only had to see the outcry last night after England had won. They'd sort of slipped under the radar a little bit, there'd been a little bit of chat about Jacob Bethel and his 4 million in the competition, and he'd been identified, Rahan Ahmed had been identified as two guys who'd had some excellent form and influenced games. And then yesterday it seemed to go up to a new level, like to a place where we never even experienced. Yeah. You know, there was no Twitter, there was no, you know, there was no nothing. There was no Snapchat, call it what you want, any of that. All this stuff that was bouncing around on social media last night, players were trending. There was all sorts of crazy stuff going on. So thankfully we never had to deal with any of that. We were just left to play, prepare, short period of time, play the game, off we go. And then it wasn't until we came back that the mainstream media were then able to, we did a press conference at Heathrow Airport, I think, as we landed, as was back in the day, and it sort of took off from there. But I thought they played some really good cricket yesterday. I thought it was a twitchy game, quite low scoring. Both teams made mistakes at crucial times, and I thought it was going to cost either team quite dearly. I thought if Noor Ahmad had stayed in, England were under pressure because he's a very, very talented player. To take his wicket was massive. But I wish him all the best. The sooner they're not talking about me and Swanee and Oase, and the sooner we're talking about the next generation of England World Cup under 19 winners, the better.
Yeah, we talked to Fateh in 2044 about what it was like to win the World Cup. But it must bring its own different kind of pressure, I suppose. An international tournament, games relatively thick and fast, and you are putting the three lines on as well when you go out there.
And the expectation is high. You know, you look at the infrastructure around that team, it's strong. They've got some excellent coaches working with them. There's a lot of money goes into the under 19 program. So, you know, it's all there. You know, the two extremes were there yesterday. Afghanistan, all very naturally talented players, probably not necessarily got the infrastructure, but some very, very talented boys. England, much more infrastructure, well coached, well drilled. But still, when pressure comes in those moments, who's going to handle it the best? We'll often decipher who's going to go on to win that game and then potentially the next game.
Yeah, and plenty of players as we go back through time have been represented age groups from here. Joey, of course, a couple of years ago in the same competition. What do you see when players come back from those experiences?
It varies because they don't always come back with positive experiences, if I'm honest. It's always nice to have a success story at under 19 level, but for every team that goes and succeeds, there's somebody who comes back and hasn't necessarily had a great time personally. So there's always that sweet spot of trying to lift or level, you know, because they have to come back and do their day job. And, you know, touring with an England team is always great when you're winning. It's not always an easy thing to do when you've not had a successful time and you've either gotten beat or you found it really difficult. So I think we'll pick up the likes of Fateh, who played at the start and, you know, hasn't played for a little while now, and see where he's at when he gets back, and we'll reintegrate him into the group, and that'll be important that he feels like we've got him again and he can crack on for the start of the season. But it's over time, it's never a bad experience. At the time, it can either feel like you've climbed the mountain or you've fallen off the cliff. So it can be a little bit either way.
I can go back to my under-19s experience, actually. You know, I toured India and we got whitewashed 5-0, and we lost both test matches and I was a part of it. I didn't personally do very well. I picked up a few wickets here and there, but I didn't do very well, and obviously the team didn't do very well. But again, I try not to let things... I think from there, I've tried not to let things scar me, because I came back and I think I was quite deflated about it, really. Again, now I just try and take positive experiences out of things. You know, going back to Taunton in 2019, again, trying to bring positive experiences back to the ground. You know, for me to use a bit of confidence and have a bit of energy and a bit of life about me, instead of thinking, oh, well, we got beat, just go, right, well, this time we're going to beat them on their home soil and embarrass them in front of their home crowd. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to go, well, you can have a taste of your own medicine, kind of thing. So, yeah, that was kind of the way I felt about that game.
And pre-season so far, how are you feeling about that? What's, as we move into Feb, March, I know you're in the gym this morning, what are your main areas of focus at this point?
I'm definitely Red Bull focused. Yeah. You know, I feel like no place is ever given to you. You've got to still work for your place. You know, for me to play a full season last season was great, but it doesn't mean I'm going to play for the next season. So it's about working hard and you know, keep improving as much as I possibly can. The earlier parts of pre-season are more about experimentation. But now we're getting down to a bit of crunch time where, you know, you've experimented, see what works for you, what doesn't work for you, and whatever works for you, you can work on a little bit. But it's about building the foundations to go into the tent and then play that first game out here.
Yeah, and part of what we've seen you doing in recent weeks, actually, is lifting some pretty monstrous-looking weights, I've got to say.
Have you seen the rig?
I mean...
You're carrying the old dressing room around with him. Look at him.
Phenomenal work, really. I know nothing about weightlifting or lifting weights, so I'll probably have really uneducated questions about it to ask. But how does that play into sort of what you then maybe do out on the field?
It just... It readies me so that I don't get as injured as much. You know, probably going back to when you were probably younger than me, it would have been a little bit different, where it's more of the game, not a lifestyle kind of thing. But now that everything's integrated, you know, the game's changed a lot. So, you know, a gym's just as important as going out there and performing. But the only way that I can allow myself to go out there and perform is to do everything together. You know, and whether that's lifting heavy weights or, you know, just preparing myself in the gym correctly to do what I need to do out there come the season. You know, as long as I prepare and do everything right, you know, I'm quite happy.
Yeah. Is it a case of just trying to lift as much as you can and break your own world records, or is it a bit more scientific than that?
A bit more scientific than that, but I probably can't really get into it because I have no clue about stuff like that. But yeah, again, it's just injury prevention, really. You know, I've spoken with Pricey a lot about how, you know, how strong I am and whatnot. And he always tries to push me every week, but, you know, there are limits to certain things. But yeah, it is nice to lift heavy weights, but it's also nice to know that it does help. I ask questions to Pricey all the time in the gym about, oh, how does this help my cricket? How does it, you know, benefit me in the long run or the short run? So, you know, I'm always intrigued about learning new things, and, you know, it's quite nice to get a little bit of information from the gym.
Yeah, and I suppose aside from injury prevention, do you feel a difference from maybe a more in-depth physical preparation when you're out there? Because they can be pretty long, pretty challenging days sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, there were times last season where I prepared very well, and then there were other times where I didn't prepare as well. And I could definitely feel a difference. And the majority of the time when I prepared well, I played well. So, you know, it's all about that consistency. So if I, you know, prepare to play, then that's all I can do, really.
Yeah. Liam Wright, was the gym culture a bit different a few years ago?
Yes, it was, because we didn't have the level of support in that area that we have now. We have an excellent science and medicine team, great strength and conditioning coaches with a lot of knowledge, and a year-round program that supports the players in a way that we weren't supported, let's say, at the turn of the century. A lot's changed in 22 years, you know. We used to disappear and be expected to come back in. You were a lot more responsible for your own career at that point. You'd have to go off and do your own program, or you might get given a program, but you were responsible for managing it, and you didn't have the resource to keep changing. There was a lot more cricket-related activity, not as much one-to-one work as there is now. We do quite a lot of one-to-one work here where we feel some real benefit. It was more group-related, and look, changes for the better, definitely. Particularly when you talk about injury prevention. You know, everything we do is about making sure it aids performance. We always link back to that. If we ever get away from the lifting of weights or the moving of, or making movement patterns or different types of training, if it doesn't link back to performance, we're not doing it right. So that's the bit that we're accountable for as staff, to make sure that the lads get the best chance to stay on the field as long as they can.
Yeah, well... Busy winter.
Who's that?
I was about to wrap
up.
Who
is that?
But I want to know who it is now.
Is it Fletch? Fletch, is that you?
Gone?
Testing the fire alarm.
Testing the fire alarm.
We're a very efficient organisation.
Those fire alarms get tested
every
so
single
often.
Day, at least three times. Can you believe it?
My ears are still ringing from the last one.
I thought Fletch was coming for a bath.
Yeah. Well.
There's a thought.
Yeah, I mean, we're lucky we've got away with that one. I think that's a fine place to end it. Thank you for both popping in, and yeah, all the best with the rest of what pre-season has to bring.
Cheers, thank you.
Thank you very much.